the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 4 o'clock happy hour, the Monday edition. It rolls on. Your phone calls always welcome here, 844-967-2789. And then, at the end of the show, I'm sneaking in a little John Nichols from The Nation, and he's got a brand new book, and he's got a big book event tonight. So John asked for a small favor, and I asked him for so many, I thought, sure, I can return the favor once. John's new book, Coronavirus Criminals and the Pandemic Profiteers. John Nichols from The Nation joins us in like 15 minutes. 844-967-2789. Got a little of breaking news. Now, I see this at multiple sources, so it must be true. The former Vice President Mike Pence, well, his chief of staff, Mark Short, quietly testified before the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th last week in response to a subpoena. Sources tell CNN, in the most significant sign to date that Pence's team is cooperating with the probe. That's going to be a sticky wicket for Trump, right? Because Pence's team, including Mark Short was with Pence at the Capitol. He knows what happened. He knows. And he knows what Pence told Trump, and he knows Trump didn't do anything. If anything, he incited the crowd. Go hang him, effectively.
Didn't he bring up Pence again this weekend?
Yeah, effectively. And that was sort of the confessional part of what Trump said in his statement yesterday. Well, if Pence had only overturned the election, you know, none of this would happen. And the fact that they're changing the rules, the Electoral College count rules, well, that's just proof to show that Mike Pence always had the power to overturn the outcome of the election. And of course, Trump's contention, he should have, but he didn't. He didn't have the courage to do the right thing.
So let's say here, let's say that, you know, a bunch of people, a mob, let's say, or a group of folks were chanting, hang your name, like insert your name. And then afterwards, the people that maybe sent those folks were like, hey, man, can you do us a solid and, like, you know, testify? Would you be a little bit more, you know, I don't know, pliant? Or would you be a little bit more, I don't know, maybe no, I'm not going to go and side with the people who chanted hang. But
Mike Pence needs the very votes of those that would hang Mike Pence, or at least chant that chant. He needs those people. And if he turns on those people, at least publicly, well, he ends all of his own personal ambitions to be the future president of the United States.
Wow, what a fun twister game we're having right now.
Again, it's a sticky wicket of sorts. Here's a little of the reporting from CNN. Short, who was with Pence at the Capitol on January 6, 2021, and participated in a critical White House meeting on January 4, 2021, that's when what? They were basically laying out the Eastman memo, the Green Bay sweep, and all the plans. It is seen as a potentially crucial witness. Yeah, go figure, in the committee's investigation, as the panel pieces together the pressure campaign that then-President Trump and his allies waged to try and convince Pence not to certify the presidential election. Short testified before the Select Committee in person last Wednesday in a lengthy session, at least according to CNN's reporting. According to a source familiar with the matter, Short had previously supplied a limited number of documents that were subpoenaed by the committee, according to one source, including a memo from Trump aide Johnny McEntee comparing Trump to Thomas Jefferson. Now, that, why don't you ever compare me to any of the founding fathers, Fancy Brian?
You don't wear a wig. That's literally
I could.
Otherwise, it's nearly identical.
It's also customary that witnesses hand over more documents when they testify, according to another source familiar with the matter. Short's testimony, obtained after months of discussions between his attorney, Emmett Flood, that's sort of a famous name, and lawyers on the committee, as well as subpoena, comes as the panel still does not know whether Pence himself will testify. Short declined to comment. A spokesman for the committee declined to comment as well. So is this sort of a, you know, testimony by proxy? You hate to put the former VP on the hot seat, but you'd like to get his testimony. I mean, it means more coming from Pence, but his chief of staff obviously has laid out all of the facts, or probably in this, you know, lengthy testimony. So the question becomes, does Mike Pence do the right thing? And I don't mean calling Dan Quayle and asking him, you know, is an insurrection okay? No? How do you spell potato?
It's just...
You know, I get spelling advice and insurrection advice from Dan Quayle, the what? Former congressman turned vice president.
As one
Indiana.
Vice president to another, I thought we were supposed to do nothing. And apparently I have to do something now. And now I have to go and advocate for people who wanted to hang me. Wow, what wonderful tangled webs we weave.
But it's been implied that somehow Pence is a hero of sorts. You know, he did heroic things. He stood up to Trump. Yeah, to the pressure campaign.
When?
Well, I'd like to see him stand up now. Henry Olson at the Washington Post writes this, an opinion piece. Former President Donald Trump went beyond the pale, even for him, when he said this weekend that he might pardon the January 6th rioters if reelected, and reiterated his belief that his vice president, Mike Pence, had the power to overturn the election. Pence has eschewed criticizing his former boss since leaving office. He should reconsider as he prepares his remarks for this week's Republican National Committee meeting. Going to speak to the RNC, is he? Trump's insistence that he won the 2020 election remains a serious problem for Republicans nationwide. They don't see it as such. They don't see it as such, but I read on. While most party leaders have ignored his insistent claims, candidates for office cannot. There's no avoiding taking a stance on whether they agree with Trump on the campaign trail. Too many have openly supported his democracy-defeating lies, whether out of misguided conviction or fear that Trump will oppose them if they don't. That means the GOP could be saddled with a large number of 2020 truthers in the midterm, the 2020 truthers. Sooner or later, someone with stature has to take the lie head-on. The longer party leaders wait, the more potential office holders will have to defend the indefensible. The emperor has no clothes, but it takes someone with the courage to say it out loud to break the spell. Mike Pence, the question is, do you have any decency, sir? Pence is the perfect person to do this, and his scheduled talk this week at the RNC's winter meeting is the perfect place to pick up the gauntlet Trump has thrown down. Ultra-Trumpists may now despise Pence, but the vast majority of Republicans and GOP office holders respect him. His courage, while under immense pressure from Trump last year, was laudatory. I think less laudatory. And his courage during and after the riot was immeasurable. As the person under direct attack from Trump, he is also the natural person to rebut Trump's false claims. He could start by explaining why he did not have the power to unilaterally disregard the will of the electors from swing states. That would entail both a legal parsing of his constitutional and legal responsibilities and a clear defense of the rule of law. Oh, I don't think he's got it in him. All of those states submitted slates of delegates according to state law, and no official alternative was submitted by a duly empowered state body. Thus, there was no dispute for Congress to resolve the poorly written Electoral Count Act of 1887, notwithstanding. A little bit more here. More importantly, he could start breaking down the lie that the 2020 election was perverted by massive voter fraud. He could state clearly and forthrightly that he, and by extension, Trump, lost. Pence doesn't have to say everything was perfectly kosher. It wasn't. Partisan Democratic election officials in Wisconsin, for example, reportedly issued pandemic-related guidance to local elections officials that ran afoul of state law. Talking to you, George Christensen, my college classmate, and you, Scott McDonald, from Dane County as well. But as an exhausting review of the election in Wisconsin shows, none of those efforts made a difference. The Trump-Pence ticket lost despite inspiring millions of new voters to turn out because it lost ground in educated suburbs nationwide. Pence could make the case in detail and call Trump's evidence-free bluff. Pence could take a great risk to his own aspirations should he engage with Trump, but he continues to take a great risk by not engaging. He cannot avoid making a clear statement of 2020's legitimacy if he decides to run for president himself, nor could he avoid the risk of alienating Trump acolytes with that statement. Better than to move first when he has the time to make his case. This also would give him an aura, a bold action, a presidential prerequisite, but not exactly a characteristic that normally applies to the cautious Hoosier. Pence is a devout Christian, and he is surely intimately familiar with Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm less familiar, at least, with the
Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, thank you. Before he was arrested and tried, Jesus went to the garden knowing his fate. He prayed that his father would take the cup of death from him, but also that he could not be spared. The God's will would be done. The cup would not pass. Jesus' crucifixion. I feel bad for all the non-believers out there, but I read to the end of the paragraph at least. And for believers, his resurrection and the world's redemption is what followed. It's blasphemous to equate Pence with Christ, but it is not. You think? We're nearing the conclusion here, folks. Bear with me just a moment longer. I'll try not to blasphemous. It is blasphemous to equate Pence with Christ, but it is not blasphemous to note that sometimes one must courageously accept one's fate. Pence has two choices in life: shrink into private life entirely, or someday meet his fate as the man with the conviction and the stature needed to engage Trump in this battle. That political and personal cup will not pass, no matter how fervently he might pray that it does. Trump's statements are a direct challenge to Pence. We already know that Trump thinks Pence was a coward on January 6th. What better rebuke than to show courage when it is least expected and take the battle home to the bully? Well written, Henry Olson in the Washington Post. Pence will not do any of that.
All I know is that the Green Bay Packers can make the Super Bowl if only Mike Pence had the courage.
If only he did. Quickly, we'll throw CJ in the mix. CJ, you got like 2 minutes, man.
Well, thanks, Scrooge. You know, I guess as I hear you talk about, you know, January 6th and everything, or November 6th, January 6th, and I remember your 2024 presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, disputed her results of 2016.
I never did.
Still got.
I never questioned the Electoral College outcome. You never heard me utter the words that Trump was less than legitimately elected through the Electoral College process. Now, he garnered less votes even the year he won, but I wasn't lost in the woods with Hillary, man. I never claimed that Trump wasn't legitimately elected. Now, I said many, many times on the air, CJ, not my freaking president, but, you know, that's a whole different slight.
You know, thank God your vote still matters because of the Electoral College. And this is going to be a referendum.
But that's not what you wanted, CJ. Your guy didn't want the Electoral College to uphold. I mean, certainly it wasn't. CJ, it wasn't about the popular vote. He lost by 7 million votes. So the only path for many Republicans going forward in national.
You're not understanding my point, Crudy.
Well, I don't, CJ. You're not making a good one.
The 2022 election is going to be a referendum on the poor job they've done from everything from Afghanistan, China, Russia, the border. It's a referendum on the poor job that your president, my president, and the pitiful job that our vice president has done. It's
you know
not
what?
Going to be about Donald Trump right now.
It is, though, CJ. It's always, because Donald Trump's going to insert himself into the electoral process, and it's going to be a relitigation of his term. And his term, compared to Joe Biden's term, give me three more of Joe. Come back, John Nichols. He wrote a new book. I'll tell you all about it. More Devil's Advocates.
Courage.
You could say that again.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
Courage.